Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to the one and only Wes Hodkiewicz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, I've been saying it every day, we are another day closer to Monday Night Football. This the bye week and a long week with the Monday Night game coming up. It seems like it's been forever since the Packers last played a football game. But the good news in that regard is that all of the time off has given the Packers a chance to get healthy, which is really what the bye week is for, almost more than anything else. And when the Packers did return to the practice field on Tuesday this week after the long weekend, we saw Lane Taylor, the starting left guard, was back out on the practice field. We also saw starting safety hybrid linebacker Morgan Burnett, who's missed a couple of games. He was back on the practice field. So the team seems to be getting healthier, which is what is going to give Brett Hundley his best chance to get his first win as an NFL starter.
And Michael, and with all due respect to all these guys who are dealing with injuries, you want to see them all back out on the field. But when I walked into practice on Tuesday, the two guys I was looking for first were Lane Taylor and were Morgan Burnett. I think both of those guys on their respective side of the ball at their respective position are really key pieces to both the offense and the defense. You look from Burnett's perspective, this is a secondary that's getting healthier, but he is the key communicator back there. I think we've seen time and time again how valuable he is in that capacity. And I don't think there's any way around it. They have missed him without him being in there, especially with how dinged up they've been at the inside backer position. So, yeah. Again, we don't know how this week's going to play out. A lot of things, but the fact that he was able to get back on the practice field after 2.5 weeks of being out with that hamstring injury, a positive for him. And then Lane Taylor, who Mike McCarthy even talked about, you know, they originally thought he was going to be available for that Saints game. To see him also back on the practice field, yeah, another positive for them as well.
Yeah, and we've heard from Mike McCarthy often, year after year, and we've heard it again this year, and you and I have talked about it on this show. Offensive lines, when you've got your starting five and they are practicing together every day and they are playing together every week, those are the groups that really come together and become the heart and soul of an offense, even when Aaron Rodgers is at quarterback. It's having that offensive line together. And what is it now? Through 7 games, the starting five for the Packers has played, is it like 15 snaps together?
Yeah, somewhere between like 15 or 16.
Yeah, like 15 snaps at the start of the Minnesota game. That's been it. Yeah. And if you had said at the start of the season that the Packers were going to be dealing with this much shuffling on the offensive line, you'd know there were going to be struggles offensively, even if Aaron Rodgers had stayed healthy and not gone down. So, but as I've said before, this is what's going to give Brett Hundley the best chance for success. I mentioned the other day, I think the offensive MVPs for the Packers in the second half, not counting Hundley, need to be your two Pro Bowl caliber tackles on the edges to stop those edge rushers. David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga are going to be huge, and through no fault of their own, they haven't played enough this year for this offense to really be what it can be.
Yeah, and I think the two things that I really like about this bye week, one, Bakhtiari and Bulaga were already back, but now that gave them a week and a half to rest their bodies,
yep,
to get ready now for this second half stretch run, whatever you want to refer to it as. But the other thing that stands out to me about this, Mike, when people say getting your starting five out there, I think sometimes, a lot of times, like subconsciously, they immediately go towards, well, that means pass protection. That means, you know, being able to keep the quarterback upright. It goes so much further than that. It isn't just that. It's the communication. It's the run blocking. It's being able to work off another guy and understand their techniques. And even when you look at a guy like Jari Evans getting involved in this offense this year, the fact that he's played next to so many different right tackles this year, as good as he is and as veteran as he is, that's taken a lot of adaptability on his accord too, even though he has been out there for every single snap. So,
yep,
again, yes, that pass protection is a big part of this thing. Giving Brett Hundley as much time to be as comfortable as possible is huge for this offense. But having the starting five offensive line is really the biggest litmus test for an offense overall, showing that you have that consistency and obviously that chemistry built in.
Yeah, and when you look at the defensive side of the ball, I think there is something to be said for chemistry as well. Now, I know every team in the NFL has to deal with injuries. You have to plug guys in, fill them in, next man up, the whole thing. But I've been here for the entirety of Dom Capers' tenure and longer as the defensive coordinator here. And when I look back at the stretches of play when Dom Capers' defense is playing the way that they expect it to play and the way the Packers need it to play, it's when similar to what I just said about the offensive line. It's when the same guys are practicing every day and playing every week. And it's not just about, you know, okay, so this guy, yeah, he's limited in practice and then he gets to play on Sunday. Well, if he's missing that practice time, that matters.
Right.
That matters with in the secondary with the guys who are next to you. That matters on the defensive line with the guys who are next to you and how you play off of one another. And you just hope that if Morgan Burnett is back and these other guys who have been on the injury report, maybe they're not going to be so limited in practice anymore, that things start to pick up. The Packers need it.
Yeah, and they obviously used Demaryius Randle a number of different ways, but I think, you know, going into the year, the fact that they were trying to use him as that star nickel cornerback kind of tells you where they wanted to have him positioned, and having Devon House and Kevin King outside.
Absolutely.
Getting House back was huge against New Orleans, and I thought for everything that happened in that game, he played well.
And he even said he wasn't necessarily 100%.
Right.
So that's another guy that you're hoping maybe has crossed the Rubicon, so to speak, yeah, in terms of his health this year.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing is if assuming he can get through this, and he did practice on Tuesday, getting that chance to rest his body after he's dealt with those hamstring and quad issues, another big plus for them, because I still really like that combination of him and King outside if they can keep those two on the field.
Yeah, I agree with you. But with that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. Wes, we talked on yesterday's show about the recent rivalry here between the Packers and the Lions and some of the history and dramatic games and whatnot. And when you take a close look at the last handful of years, well, close to a decade now that Matthew Stafford has been the quarterback of the Detroit Lions, the overwhelming theme of when the Packers have success against Detroit is getting Matthew Stafford to make some mistakes.
Yeah.
And that's something that this Packers defense, as we talked about, hopefully they're healthy. They can make some things happen on Monday night, because when Matthew Stafford is not on his game, this Detroit Lions team is very beatable.
Yeah, and this actually was a topic that kind of came to mind when we were working on, I was working on the Insider Inbox this week, because somebody even had mentioned that. It's one of those things that I think subtly you understand it, but then when you go back and look at the stats, and the success the Packers have had against him, again, 3-10 as a quarterback against the Packers, completed 322 of 536 passes, about 60% for 3,788 yards, 25 touchdowns, 19 interceptions, 29 sacks in 13 contests. So the way I put it is there's a blueprint there. There's a path for how the Packers need to have this contest go. And remember, a lot of those games, Mike, 13 times, they had Matthew Stafford and Kelvin Johnson to contest with.
Yeah.
You know, arguably, if not the best, one of the best receivers to ever play the game. So for the Packers' perspective, not saying this gets any easier. We saw last year, you know, how Marvin Jones Jr. did against them.
Yep.
They're you know, you have to be able to be up to the task in shutting them down. But I think really the biggest key for them is whether it's the pass rush, whether it's the secondary, being able to execute on the opportunities, get pressure on Matthew Stafford, make him uncomfortable and get him to forsake his fundamentals, because I think ultimately that is the road forward to picking up a victory.
Yeah, when I look at the Packers' two games against the Lions, just thinking back to last year, Demaryius Randle had a big interception in the home game against Detroit where he rips the ball away. I believe it was from tight end Eric Ebron,
yeah,
runs the other way. And that was a big play in the Packers building a big lead in that game that they ultimately hung on to get the win. And I remember Nick Perry having multiple sacks, you know, in both of the games, the home and away games against Detroit. He was really a difficult guy to handle for Detroit's offensive line. And even when you think back to the Hail Mary game,
yeah,
in 2015 in Detroit, what was the play that started the comeback from a 20-0 deficit? It was Julius Peppers getting a strip sack deep,
right,
in Detroit territory that Jake Ryan recovered, and the Packers end up scoring a touchdown. So those are the types of plays that this Packers defense needs to make against Matthew Stafford. They've made those against him before. Now, I think he's a much better quarterback now than he was even just a few years ago, even comparing to the first time he took Detroit to the playoffs in 2011 compared to where he is now. I think he's a much more polished NFL quarterback.
Agreed.
But we did see just a couple of weeks ago, he had a whole bunch of passes batted at the line of scrimmage by the New Orleans Saints when he's trying the sidearm, you know, the different angles he tries to throw. And the Saints ended up with three defensive touchdowns in that game, a lot of it because of getting to Matthew Stafford and forcing mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely. And the thing is, too, also to mention, after looking this up quickly, Nick Perry, 6 career sacks in 8 games against the Lions. That's his most against a single opponent. But yeah, as you mentioned, I think we've seen it before. And again, I think, and I even couched this when I said this in Inbox, Matthew Stafford is one of the best young quarterbacks in this league. I shouldn't even say young anymore. He's an 8-year vet.
Yeah.
But he is an up-and-comer. I can see why the Lions want to build around him and make him, I think, the highest-paid quarterback or one of the highest-paid quarterbacks in the NFL right now.
Yep.
If you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. So for him right now, I think for the Packers' perspective, you need to be able to shut down Abdullah. You can't let Theo Riddick get going out of the backfield. And then from there, the opportunities that you do get in the passing field, downfield passing game, that's where you have to execute. That's where you have to make them pay.
Yeah, and I'm curious to see just how the Packers will come out and play defensively here against Matthew Stafford, because it, you know, the last game was against a future Hall of Famer in Drew Brees. The Packers were obviously very concerned about the run after the catch, all of the yards after the catch that the Saints racked up, and they were able to convert some third and longs that were key plays in the game. Strategically, do the Packers do something different in terms, you know, is Matthew Stafford a little bit easier guy to get after, maybe with a blitz, because he doesn't get rid of the ball as quickly as Drew Brees? You know, the yards after the catch thing, I don't know if anybody's better than the Saints at it. So you maybe don't have as much of that to worry about. And I'm no defensive coach, I'm no defensive coordinator, but I don't necessarily think the Packers go about defending Matthew Stafford the same way that they did Drew Brees, even though they're both very, very good quarterbacks. But I think these are very different quarterbacks running very different offenses.
Yeah, I agree, Mike. The way I look at it personally is, I mean, Drew Brees is all Madden mode. I mean, he's as hard as it gets with how quickly he gets the ball out. You saw, by the way, this past week doing the same exact thing. I think he completed like 23 of 28 passes or something like that.
Yeah.
How efficient he is with the ball. Matthew Stafford is still all pro. I mean, he's still in that realm as well. But I just think there's a few more opportunities there that he's going to have a misstep. And as the Packers have shown in the past, you have to be able to execute on that. I know a lot of people have talked about the pass rush. A lot of people have talked about the lack of sacks. I think that potential is still there. And this could be one of those games where you really might be able to start building towards that, what they feel is there for them to be potentially.
Yeah, the Packers have to start doing that on Monday night. No question about it. With that, we'll throw it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there. And Wes, I believe it was in yesterday's show, we talked a little bit about the Detroit Lions special teams and the fact that they have a punt returner in Jamal Agnew, who's taken 2 back for touchdowns this year. I believe one of those was in that primetime game against the Giants, if I'm not mistaken. A big, big early season win for Detroit there on the road. But I wanted to ask you, I don't mean to be the eternal optimist here or whatever you want to call it, but I think Trevor Davis for the Packers is close to busting one. I think it's coming. I don't know if it's going to come Monday night against Detroit, but I think this Packers return game, this punt return game, is going to get a chance, and I think Trevor Davis is really close to finding that open space that he craves.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, Mike, because we talk so much about the kickoff returns and how the adjustments they've made there. The opportunity isn't, you know, there aren't as many of those opportunities anymore. I actually think that's why it's put more emphasis on the punt return these past few years, being able to get production out of that, the importance of it.
It's a good point.
You go back and look at some of these best, you know, some of the best units they've had, the years where Micah Hyde had success. You want to go back even a little bit further, looking at Randall Cobb. It's been when you've been able to get production out of that punt return game because it does so much for field position. I think Trevor Davis, you go back to the preseason, you saw exactly what he brings to the table right out of the gate against the Philadelphia Eagles. I think it was a 68-yard return in that game.
Yeah.
He obviously has the one muff punt the week later, comes back in Denver and has a nice, I think it was 28 or 29 yards as well. So he definitely has that potential. We've all seen the speed. He might be the fastest guy on the football team. And I think he has a good disposition. He has a good head on his shoulders, and he understands that, you know, what has happened in the past does not define him in the present. That is a key attribute for punt returners, and I'm with you. I think that that potential, if you block right, if you don't have penalties, he can definitely break one for you.
Yeah, and that is definitely an issue for the Packers on special teams is the penalties. The coaches have talked about it. They've got to get that cleaned up. There's no question about that. But also when you look on the other side, we mentioned the other day, Sam Martin is back now as the punter for the Lions. But he had a pretty bad shank in his first game back. You know, he's still got some things to work out. He's going to be coming in here. He's an indoor punter. He's going to be coming into Lambeau Field. Could be a little chilly, maybe a little wet out there on Monday night. Don't really know exactly what the weather forecast is just yet, but that could create an opportunity there as well, putting some pressure on that punter to come through for the Lions. And Trevor Davis is a guy who can definitely take advantage of a mistake. And you mentioned before the kickoff returns. As the weather gets colder, especially for these outdoor games, you know, the Packers playing in Green Bay, they're playing in Chicago a week from now. There aren't going to be as many kickoffs that just fly out the back of the end zone when the weather gets colder and the ball doesn't fly as far. Kickoff return is going to become a factor in field position. It's not just going to be you're automatically on the 25, just take a knee. It's not necessarily going to be like that, and the Packers have to be prepared to take advantage of something in the kickoff return game if it's there.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is, I mean, you're even seeing it these last few weeks. With the more opportunities, I think it was what? Was it five games that they did not have a kickoff return?
Yeah, it was several in a row, for sure.
Yeah, so then now even, you know, as Trevor Davis has been taking over those duties, he already has four. So an explosive-type player, I think he has done some really positive things. We've seen it in the past as well. So whether they're going with him or Jeff Janis, this year they have reverted back to having one rather than two like they had at the end of last year with Christian Michael and Janis. So whoever that guy is, I think the capability is there too. It's just that you're not really sure. The Packers have a lot of outdoor games coming up, so I think the opportunities are going to be there more. And whenever you get those, I mean, you got to try to do something with them.
Yeah, and we've talked about all the ways that this team can support a young, developing quarterback who's trying to feel his way here. He's headed into his second NFL start in Brett Hundley. You know, we've talked about the offensive line coming together and staying healthy. We've talked about the running game with Aaron Jones, the defense, you know, getting some turnovers. A big player, too, on special teams could go a long way for Brett Hundley as well. Make no mistake about it. You bust a punt return or a kickoff return, even if it's not for a touchdown, but just in the field position game, that can really change an outlook for a young quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons I'm not, this is me just speculating, but when you saw Trevor Davis running those out at the end of the last game against the Saints, I think they're just looking for that one big play, because it really, not only does it help a young quarterback, it just turns the momentum so much. We saw last year in that game against Indianapolis how much that can really change the flow of a football game.
Yeah, it can spark an entire team. There's no question about it. With that, we're going to toss it to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford sitting alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, as I mentioned before, with this Monday night game, our schedule of shows is kind of all messed up. We're not sticking to the routine this week. So since even though this isn't our last show of the week, I want to take the last segment here to talk about some other games around the NFC coming up here in Week 9 on the schedule. The Minnesota Vikings and Chicago Bears both on a bye. Obviously, the Detroit Lions coming to Lambeau Field on Monday night. So there isn't anything else in the NFC North to pay attention to. But I think if there's a game in the NFC that I'm going to have my eye on, it's Atlanta going to Carolina. The 4-3 Falcons against the 5-3 Panthers, who just traded away their leading wide receiver, by the way, in Kelvin Benjamin. This is a pretty big game in the NFC South because, as we've talked about, the Saints are a hot team. They've won five in a row, have a home game this week against the Buccaneers, a good chance to make it six in a row. And one of these teams, the Falcons or the Panthers, needs to try to stick with New Orleans here in the South, and this is one that could decide which team it is.
Yeah, and let's be honest, Michael, it isn't just New Orleans either. I mean, they're trying to make that a multiple wild card producing division. I said it all.
Okay.
I mean, they got to keep pace with the rest of the NFC too. I mean, if the Falcons don't win this, you're at 4-4, man. I mean, you got to get moving.
Yeah.
Carolina, I've said it again. I've said it numerous times on the show. I'm still trying to figure out exactly what they are.
I think everybody is.
It looks like their offense right now is going to be Devin Funchess, maybe Christian McCaffrey just moves the receiver. I mean, that's kind of been sort of the speculation and rumor that's been circling around.
And they're waiting to get Greg Olsen back off injured reserve at some point.
Yeah, and furthermore, I'm waiting to get Greg Olsen back for my fantasy team. But
come on now.
Ed Dixon has stood up, has been there as well. So, I mean, they have a lot of options. But, yeah, as far as the Falcons are concerned, they're still trying to figure out who they are, and they're trying to show that they still are the team that everybody thought they were, R.I.P. Denny Green, coming into this season.
Yeah, and another one that I want to watch and I want to keep a close eye on this weekend is the Los Angeles Rams at the New York Giants. And you may be saying, Mike, the Rams are 5-2, the Giants are 1-6. Like, why in the world is that game on your radar? Well, a couple of reasons. For one, the Rams have to fly across country all the way to the Meadowlands from L.A. to play that game. Those long road trips are never easy. But this is the other thing, Wes. We've talked about where the Eagles sit right now with just one loss, the Saints being a hot team, the Seahawks being a hot team in the NFC West. Do you know who plays all three of those teams before the end of the season?
Who is that, Mike?
The Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah.
If they beat the Giants on the road this week and get to 6-2 at the midway point with those three opponents on their schedule, Philadelphia, Seattle, and New Orleans, watch out for the Rams.
Yeah. I mean, I've said it all along. I mean, I've really been impressed with what they've done, with what Sean McVay has done, the way Wade Phillips has used those pieces. This is one of those games this week, though. They got to get this one.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at the Giants, what's happening there. Guys are getting suspended every week for team violations.
Right.
This is huge. And I just want to mention one other thing, too, Mike. Very interesting little quirk in the schedule for the Packers with this. The Bears go on bye this week. The Packers see them next week. Baltimore plays the Titans this week and then go on by and see the Packers. So very interesting these next few weeks, seeing how this schedule lines up for the Packers, who are going to be playing some healthy teams as well.
Yeah, playing teams that are coming off that extra rest, which is what the Packers are hoping to take advantage of this week. But with that, that's a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. We'll see you next time.